Have you ever made a mistake at work so monumental, like so embarrassingly public that you were absolutely certain you'd be fired on the spot?
Oh, yeah. You know that hot sinking feeling in your stomach.
Exactly. You're just waiting for the axe to fall. Now, I want you to imagine making that exact kind of mistake, but you're sitting at the controls of a multi-million dollar airliner, 3,000 feet in the air. Welcome to the deep dive.
It's a terrifying thought, honestly.
It really is. Today, we're unpacking an incredible firsthand account from Captain David Jacobson. We're looking at his early aviation career, right around 1970.
Right.
And our mission here is to explore how a devastating failure, a miraculous recovery, and then a completely unforced error led to the single greatest piece of professional advice he ever received.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is that it's not just the story about flying planes. It's really a masterclass in human psychology and leadership.
Absolutely. So to set the scene for you, the year is 1970. David Jacobson is just 22 years old.
So young.
Right. He joins Trans-Australia Airlines TAA. He's making a massive leap. Up to this point, he's mostly flying tiny single-engine planes, like 4,300 pounds.
Barely bigger than a heavy car, really.
Yeah, exactly. And suddenly he's thrown into the Fokker F-27 Friendship. This is a 43,500-pound airliner.
Huge jump.
It has these massive 2,000-horsepower Rolls-Royce Dart turboprop engines.
Which is, a tenfold increase in weight. The inertia alone is a completely different world.
I can't even imagine.
And what's fascinating here is the psychological stakes of this environment. During his training, an early mentor named Col Tiller gave these young pilots a framing of aviation checks that is, well, it's chilling.
Oh, what did he say?
Tiller told them, look, passing just means you were safe for the last 6 months, but failing means you've been unsafe for the last 6 months.
Oh, wow. That is heavy.
Right. It totally reframes the pressure.
It really does, which sets the stage perfectly for this impending disaster. So it's September 16, 1970. Jacobson is facing his first base flying renewal check at Mangalore.
And his check captain is Jeff Leshy.
Right. And Jeff Leshy is, well, he's intimidating. He's a former RAAF pilot, won a Distinguished Flying Medal in Korea.
Yeah, he has this imposing Gregory Peck-like demeanor, very old school.
And unfortunately, Jacobson just completely falls apart. He makes all these compounding errors.
Eh.
But the big one, the worst one, happens during a simulated engine failure.
Oh, yeah, the flap mistake.
Right. He actually calls out flaps UP without first checking if he has sufficient airspeed.
Which is aerodynamically terrifying.
Yeah, help me break that down because it's sort of like taking your driver's license test
Yeah.
and you mean to parallel park, but you accidentally throw it in reverse and back over a fire hydrant.
That's a great way to put it.
Except here, the fire hydrant is a simulated engine failure. Why is raising the flaps so bad?
Well, when you lose an engine, the plane wants to twist and yaw. You have asymmetric drag. And in that unstable state, the flaps are giving you extra lift at a slow speed. If you retract them prematurely, before you have enough forward airspeed, the wing basically just stops flying.
So you just fall out of the sky.
Literally, it's a catastrophic impulse, and Leshy just looks at him, and the exact quote is devastating.
What does he say?
Leshy says, "I don't think this is going to get any better today, do you? You'd better get out of your seat and give it to someone who can fly an airplane."
Ouch. Oh, I feel sick just hearing that.
I mean, the profound isolation he must have felt.
You had to physically unbuckle and walk to the back of the plane, right?
Yeah, past the other trainees. He sat in the back, totally shamed, fully expecting to be fired on the spot.
So how do you even face your boss after that? Back at the Essendon terminal, Leshy brings Jacobson into his office.
Just the two of them.
Right. And when Leshy asks him what happened, Jacobson doesn't make excuses. He just replies, "I just didn't know what I didn't know."
Which is incredible emotional intelligence for a 22-year-old.
Yeah. And instead of firing him, Leshy signs a minimum company standard pass.
Barely scraping by.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because passing a guy who just nearly stalled a plane sounds, kind of dangerous.
It does on the surface. But Leshy recognized something crucial. He saw self-awareness. He decided to test Jacobson's resilience rather than just his raw skill.
But there was a catch.
A huge catch. It was a make-or-break 2-day route check flying with Leshy himself in the real world with real passengers.
Which brings us to the redemption flight, September 26. They are descending into Sydney. The runway is damp.
Yeah, and the weather is tricky.
Very tricky. They have a 15-knot crosswind and a 40-knot tailwind pushing them from behind. and air traffic control asked them to keep their best speed as long as possible.
Because there is a massive new KLM Boeing 747 jumbo jet breathing down their necks.
Right, but wait, if you're flying an F-27, which doesn't have the speed brakes that modern jets use, and you have a tailwind, how on earth do you bleed off speed while honoring ATC's request?
It's a huge problem, because if they slow down too early, the 747 has to abort its landing.
So what does he do?
Jacobson pulls a tactical masterstroke. He keeps his speed high at 2,000 feet, but then, against standard company procedure, which mandated a minimum of 40 PI of torque, he fully closes both throttles.
Wow. Just pulls them to idle.
Exactly. He relies on this obscure Fokker manufacturer bulletin. It allowed flight crews to load the propeller lay shafts backward for instant drag.
So he essentially turns those massive propellers into flat barn doors against the wind.
Yes. He turns the plane into a 20-ton glider.
That is wild.
And it works perfectly. He hits his exact target speeds, 210 knots to 168 to 144, down to 85 knots.
Wow.
And he executes a flawless dead stick landing. The 747 behind them doesn't have to go around.
Unless she is impressed, right?
Oh, he pays him a massive compliment. He says, I know a lot of captains who couldn't have pulled that off.
What a turnaround. From the worst day of his life to a total triumph. But, you know, the most dangerous moment is often right after a huge success.
No, absolutely. The adrenaline wears off and complacency sets in.
Exactly. Because just 30 minutes later, they turn around to take off for Canberra. Jacobson does a visual scan of the panel and freezes. Two RED alternator failure lights are illuminated.
Because they completely missed the after start checklist.
Right. The switches were in the RAF position. Now here's where it gets really interesting. If the alternators are off during takeoff, does that mean the entire plane is electrically dead? Like, are they flying blind?
No. And we need to make this clear. With the alternators not turned on during the subsequent takeoff, the F-27 still had its normal DC generators, batteries, and AC inverter system fully functioning.
Oh, okay. So the essential stuff is still working.
Yes. Okay. The plane could fly completely normally. However, because those alternators were off, the de-icing systems were unavailable.
Wait, really? The de-icing?
Yeah. The 208-volt AC-powered systems. So that's the windscreen heat, the wing and tail de-icing, and the engine and propeller anti-icing. All completely unavailable.
Wow. So if they hit any moisture or cold clouds?
They were deeply vulnerable to ice, which is deadly.
That is terrifying. So Jacobson has to speak up. He just redeemed himself. And now he has to point out a massive procedural failure to Lushy.
It takes so much guts.
He says, Jeff, I'm not sure we completed the after start checklist.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, Lushy's reaction is just legendary. He doesn't yell. He doesn't freak out.
What does he do?
He just flips the switches on end, extinguishing the red lights, and he delivers the ultimate lesson.
And what was the quote?
He says, it doesn't matter when something goes wrong. What matters is what you do when it does.
Man, what matters is what you do when it does.
Yeah. And he never mentioned the mistake again.
Really? Never brought it up.
Never. He was so far ahead of his time regarding crew resource management. He treated the cockpit as a team, not a dictatorship. He made it safe for a junior officer to speak up about an error.
That is incredible leadership. So what does this all mean for you listening right now? We've gone from catastrophic failure to tactical brilliance to a humbling mistake and finally lifelong wisdom.
Yeah, it's quite the journey.
It really is. And the takeaway here is that whether you are flying a 43,000-pound aircraft or, you know, just managing a project at work, the initial mistake isn't what defines the outcome.
Exactly.
It's the immediate, honest recovery that actually matters.
I completely agree. And I think there's a final thought here for you to mull over. Think about your own life and your own successes.
Oh, that's a good point.
How many crucial alternator switches do you leave in the OAuth position simply because you're still busy celebrating your last perfect landing?
Oh, wow. That hits hard.
Yeah.
Don't let success make you complacent, right?
Exactly. Keep your eyes on the checklist.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this one. We'll catch you on the next one. Keep asking questions and keep diving deep.